What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show. You are now listening to Footy Prime, the podcast, hosted by Danny Dicchio, Craig Forrest, and James Sharman.
It is Footy Prime. However, somewhere above us right now is Danny Dicchio, flying back in what I can only imagine is quite the moody plane from Seattle. We'll get into the match shortly. Deitch will be back with us on Thursday for our first live Footy Prime. We'll get to more of that later in today's show. But here I am sitting with Craig Forrest and producer Dan Wong. I'm an immigrant, by the way, and I'm wearing a puppy. Can you believe it?
Ooh.
Unbelievable.
Special. Yes, I can believe it. I can believe
that. Exactly.
Can we get into this a little bit first, actually? Well, yeah, you know, we can do what we want, actually. It's our freaking podcast, really. Yeah. Dan Wong, sitting opposite me now, identifies as Canadian. He's more Canadian. He's more Canadian, I think, than anyone I know. But if you saw him, as the name might give away, he looks a little bit Asian.
A little bit, right? Yep.
So, curly hair, but half Asian.
Yeah.
So at some point in your, you know...
Your DNA originated from Madagascar, didn't it?
Some of it, yeah.
And then all the way everywhere else?
All the way across, yeah. Indonesia, into Asia, and also found out we're indigenous, too.
So what aren't you? It's easy to say, what aren't you, Dan?
Well, my parents like to have the sex, and my forefathers like to have the sex with anybody. Anybody and anything. There's some Dan Wong looking cows. There's some Dan Wong looking sheep. We don't know. There's a tree that looks like been had at. Hey, you don't know. Listen, right. Know what these things happen.
Some of those trees. Let me tell you. Yes. Some of those trees. Yeah. Not so bad, are they?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Do they wear poppies?
It's a good question, actually. Yeah. They should. If not, they should be ashamed of themselves.
Should be thankful.
But let's touch on this. I mean, we've touched racism in football quite a bit on this podcast in the first six episodes, and we saw last week how UEFA banned Bulgaria one match behind closed doors, €85,000 fine. It's a joke, you know, and we can stand on our soapboxes here in Canada and saying, oh, it's terrible what happens in Europe. It's awful. But really close to home as well it happens, and we saw that this weekend, of course, with Don Cherry's comments. Now, as two white dudes, it's kind of tough for Craig and I to really appreciate how hurtful his comments could be, but for somebody like yourself, Dan, despite being Canadian through and through, you tell us, should we be offended?
I think we should have been offended 15, 20 years ago. I guess what bothers me the most is everyone's jumping on Cherry now. This guy has a tradition, because it has been. It's been a praised tradition. And I'm trying to find the CBC. I heard it this morning on the drive in, but CBC has, you know, said we have no editorial decision making on the show and what happens on Hockey Night in Canada. This guy has been saying anti-immigrant things, anti-French-Canadian things, I mean, he really loves speaking for the masses of traditional ignorance, where
white traditional ignorance.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Racist white Canada.
And it's, you know, it's a dog whistle, and it's only certain people. When I say we, I've always talked about, as someone, I'm from Ottawa. I'm from Riverside Park. I was born in Germany. My dad was in the military. But this is the thing. You know, I'm sure my dad, 27 years in the armed forces, didn't look like what you expect a Canadian military guy to look like. And was never in an active war situation, but could have been at any point, and worked for National Defense Headquarters. So when you see these guys, I was offended 20 years ago. I would have been offended 15 years ago.
When he was under the CBC umbrella.
And this is the thing. Under the CBC umbrella, and he's sitting around, you know, we're all saying, hey, this guy is absolutely. And I have friends who said, well, you know, he didn't really say anything crazy. No, he said something like your drunk uncle would, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's drunk uncle.
I don't even have a drunk uncle that would say something like that.
I do. Yeah.
But if I did, he wouldn't be on TV.
On the biggest stage,
that's
perhaps,
right.
as we have on Canadian TV.
Yeah.
And for CBC to essentially throw Sportsnet under the bus here. Right?
Which they did.
Most people in Canada still identify Don Cherry with CBC, whether you like it or not.
Right.
Right? He was there for so long, and it's still on CBC. Now,
right.
People who understand the business know that Sportsnet are in control of everything. We understand that, but the average Joe out there watching that doesn't think, oh, that's Sportsnet's Don Cherry. They think that's CBC's Don Cherry. Yeah. So don't run from it.
I didn't hear a lie because, quite honestly, when it comes on, I flip it.
So do I, yeah.
I flip it. I can't listen to it anymore. And then I see that it's on Twitter and it's everywhere. And I'm just looking at this and then I'm like, my jaw hit the floor. I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, and you're right. Should we be surprised by this? No, I'm not surprised by it. Now, Sportsnet, I've got a big decision here. Now, they came out with an apology, but that's about it. My neighbor is Jordan Banks. He's the head of Rogers Media now. I see him as a really decent human being. He's got some big decisions to make here as for Rogers Media, and I'm not sure how he can survive it. If it happened to us, James, if we were on Sportsnet, we said anything close to this, we would be gone in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he's managed to stay on for year in. Oh, it's Don. It's Don. He just says crazy things.
I got in crap once for using the word stupid on air.
Right.
I got pulled aside.
Yeah.
We don't use the word stupid. It's like, you know.
But you can say you people.
Yeah.
I remember, and I'm not going to say the producer, but I remember who it happened to. And it was Jay Portuondo at Sportsnet. And he used the term T-dot. And we went through a litany. So just so everyone knows, we're all former Sportsnet guys.
Yeah.
We went through a litany of emails saying, this is what is appropriate, this is what's not appropriate to call Toronto. No T-dot, no T-dot-O, no it is. And I kind of went, what is the deal here? And if, you know, one of the problems with Sportsnet, I don't want to bash Sportsnet, it was a great place to work, it started my career.
Mm-hmm.
But slow to the change. And, you know, that $5.2 billion hockey deal has kept Don Cherry relevant, whether we want him to be or not. So to your point, should we be, you know, surprised that he went off again 2 days before Remembrance Day? You know, my dad, like I said, 27 years, he's talking to guys like me. He's talking about my brother, 2 years in the military. You know, wasn't his calling, but still 2 years in the military.
Right. Mm-hmm.
These, you know, we are that family that everyone go, well, not you guys. And that is that dog whistle. Oh, not them. And then at the end of the day, whose fault is it that people aren't wearing poppies? Are we doing a bad job at teaching and opening up conversations about...
Yeah. Well, it's also easy, Dan, to wear the poppy.
Oh,
right?
It's so easy.
Right?
Yeah.
And we forget about the military that come back home and the homeless issues that they have, the substance abuse issues that they have. And where's the support for that?
Yeah.
It happens across the south border even, as you know, just as badly or probably worse. That's maybe more of an issue. How do we do more to support those soldiers and people that have been affected by serving the country overseas?
Absolutely. Especially when you talk about how we're opening up to, you know, the mental health issues in Canada and how that has, you know, become something. And where is our tax dollar for support for, you know, the federal government putting in? But, I mean, and then, you know, where does the 25 years that Don Cherry spent on the CBC before this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how come you can just wash your hands at this? Mm. And the CBC was a federal like the run by the government.
Yeah.
So
now we should say that we record this at 10 a.m. on a Monday morning.
That's right.
And as often happens when you record at 10 a.m. on a Monday, in the football parlance, a manager gets fired at noon. and we haven't covered it right
That's
now.
Right.
A lot can still happen between now and this going to air. We'll do our best here.
Yeah.
Right.
I hope that Sportsnet do the right thing. And,
yeah.
and that's not the
you
best.
Know, we should also talk about Ron
McLean
in this too.
Yeah.
Because I don't know Ron really well, but what I know of him, you know, I think he's a decent human being for sure. And he apologized, which is the best thing he can do. And he did say something in his apology that kind of stuck with me. Being a broadcaster and being in those split-second decisions is that he didn't catch it.
Yeah.
That could be true, too.
More than possible.
It's more than possible. You know, you got an IFB, you're listening to your producer, Don's gone off on a rant, you haven't picked up on everything he said, you don't want to get it wrong, you don't want to say anything either, and you end up, and the time goes by, and next thing you know, it was very quick off air. So I give him the benefit of the doubt. He's as inclusive, I believe, as anybody on air.
And it's pretty clear that if you watch Coach's Corner over the years, that what they might plan for rarely actually goes to air because Don goes off on his tangents. He goes rogue. You know, he can imagine those pre-show meetings, right? We're doing this, because often you see Don Ron trying to rescue the direction or the narrative because Don's gone somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It could well be that Don was going somewhere else and Ron was thinking, Christ, I must get this back on the rails.
He's been trying to figure out how to do it, ear
talking to him, blah, 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 and he does miss it. I don't know. In the past, Don said stuff and Ron hasn't responded on air, but it's very difficult. If you're a host and haven't been in that shoes, when your analyst beside you, and Craig's right beside me here, says something wrong, not that you ever said anything wrong,
but
factually wrong, you know, or
racist,
politically wrong, right, or culturally wrong, do you call them out on air? Or do you let it go and hope it just disappears? It's a choice to be made in a split second. It's not easy. So let's not make Ron McLean the enemy here.
Because he certainly wouldn't say it like that.
No, he wouldn't.
No.
Exactly.
But I would think that Ron McLean right now, and I have no idea, look, I'm just, the way I would approach it is he's feeling guilt by association, right?
Yeah.
And he's, I don't think he could have caught it.
Well, he could have.
But to your point, what you just went through, I know what it's, you know, like, I know what it's like in a control room. I know what it's like when it's live. There's sometimes, especially live, you know, live to tape is different. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of live to tape.
Let's do it again.
Exactly. You know, I haven't done a lot of live because just my career was, hey, live to tape, studio, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then doing some other work.
There was a delay on Don Cherry's segment, right? Coach's Corner. A 6-second delay for a while there on CBC, remember? To catch these things out. Remember? I don't know if that's still on there.
Right.
And if it was, obviously someone didn't catch it. Or, yeah.
Well, I mean,
but I mean, hey, this is hard. If it's a 6-second, 10-second delay, that's not easy.
What are they going to do? Just go to black?
I know. Well, precisely, right? Maybe you pre-record it. It's rare that he actually breaks down what you just saw in the first period.
I mean, you watching Hockey Night in Canada because you want to be entertained, you want to watch hockey, you want to hear him dissect the game, talk about sports, not talk about politics. He gets away with that somewhat, you know, and in some ways, like, he's been really pro-Canadian and pump, and, you know, in some ways very, very strongly.
He's a proud Canadian, you can't deny that.
Right.
Yeah.
However.
Not a pro-modern Canada. Modern Canada. Well, Canada, actually,
right.
Let's be honest. The Canada that he perceives is not actually Canada, clearly. Because the Canada I know is full of immigrants, and that's what makes Canada Canada.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And we also live in a big city, which big cities tend to be liberal. They live amongst each other, and we understand each other much better than rural or parts of
right.
Is he being hammered in rural Canada right now?
No.
But
no.
Maybe that's us judging rural Canada wrong, though, hey? You never
know. We're not putting everybody in the same thing, but, I mean, generally speaking, it would be more supportive in rural Canada.
Yeah. Quick tweet here from a good friend of mine, Michael Corrin. We'll have him on the show at some point.
Reverend
Michael Corrin, I should say. Yeah, absolutely. He kind of broke down just to, I guess, educate Coach's Corner DC on Twitter, just saying, by 1945, the Indian Army was the largest volunteer force in history, numbering over 2.5 million men. Chinese soldiers were fighting the Japanese for more than 2 years before 1939. African troops fought for the Allies on three continents. So, right. Pretty good way to end the conversation right now, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And this is not Don Cherry bashing. It's just a certain
we can't sit here on the podcast and many
ignore
times
it.
Ignore it and talk about the racism that happens in Europe and eastern parts of Europe and say it doesn't happen here. And when it does, we can't be quiet about it. It's easy to be quiet about it, but we have to say that it's unacceptable, and it is.
Yeah, and it's clearly very much a work in progress on these shores as it is on other shores.
Well,
right?
I don't have to deal with it.
If I did have to deal with it,
it'd be very quick.
And have you dealt with it much
in your
life?
Look, I've been carted. So walking down the street, Do I deal with it? I think anybody who doesn't look white deals with it, and who looks a little different deals with it. I have buddies who drive in while black, right? Like, it's a thing. Mm-hmm. I was walking while beige. That's what happens. And I was pulled over walking to a producer's conference, and two cops pulled up and said, "Can we look in your bag? What are you doing here?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And they asked me for my ID for no reason. I said no. And they started escalating. Another cop car came around. And this is a fact of life. Do I have it as bad as black dudes? Absolutely not. Mm. You know, do I have it as brown dudes? Absolutely not. But you get it. And, you know, going back to sports was always my kind of – I have two older brothers. We all played sports, and it balanced our life with – you know, I grew up on a street that they wrote on my mom's best friend was Pakistani. On Aftab and Asif's house, they wrote "Paki, go home" on their house. We were this down the street. Mm-hmm. This is Canadian values too, fuckers. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
It's happened, right?
It happens, but it's not what I glean mm-hmm. from being Canadian. It's just, but let's not push it under the rug. And
yeah, right. It does exist.
And to your point, we always go off on, you know, the stuff, throwing bananas. They threw fucking bananas at, like, I remember they threw bananas at a London Knights game, you know, like 10 years ago. Yeah. What are we talking about here?
I remember going to hockey games in England as a kid in Gillingham. They had Medway Bears played there. And I remember as a kid being like 11 years old at this game, and there are a couple of black players, probably Canadian because there's so many Canadians playing in that league, and the monkey chants and bananas being thrown on the ice. Now, this is like in the mid-80s, late 80s. And I was stunned by this, going, holy crap.
Yeah.
Who are these people, right? And that was a long time ago now. It exists to this day, unfortunately. You know, we don't see it as much, perhaps, but it does exist to this day. Should mention, in fairness, Dan is actually a very bad person as well.
Horrible.
Beneath the veneer.
Horrible.
It's nothing to do with his Italian ancestry. No. Or ancestry.
Well, that ancestry. As well. His parents fucked trees, apparently. Yeah, so.
Maybe that explains it.
No, ancestors. My parents had sex three times.
Okay.
That's it.
And never with a tree.
Never with a tree.
You're saying right now.
But me, on the other hand, love a good-looking maple.
I knew a guy once at a party. He was on E, and he started humping a CD rack.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, if you catch an edge,
a nice CD rack. Yeah. It was smooth. I get it to a certain point, but not me.
And we also have, it's Remembrance Day, so
it is.
Nice segue from fucking CD racks to Remembrance Day.
You know what? Because this all starts. It all starts and begins with the fact that he brought it up, and this is where hey, should he be on the air anymore? He brought it up to make a point, and the point is, hey, let's all remember what people have done in our past to give us what we've got in this country, which is top five countries in the world to live in. For me, the best country to live in. For you, who's come from, from England and live here, you made a career. You've came, brought up here. brought up here, career in England.
Typical white guy came over.
No, but you decide to come back.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason you're here. So, I know in Don Cherry's heart, he's an angry old man. But his point, he did have a point, which is let's remember.
Right.
And
just really clumsily delivered.
Clumsily delivered. So does he have a point like, hey, we should remember more?
Of course.
Of course. Mm. Sometimes it is how you deliver these things. And once again, he's shown that he also has some stereotypes and some biases that are not so pretty to look at when they see So I'm all for the discussion, the communication about this and the conversations we're having. We're lucky we get to have these conversations right now. Who the fuck are we to get to talk about this stuff? This is what the whole point is, that we have freedom of speech. We get to banter on about an 84-year-old or however he is on how old he is now. Yeah. But is it time for him to go? I like I said, I thought it was time for him to go 25 years ago. So
I mean, the reason I came back to Canada is because I partially
actually, majority of it was because of the people. Like, I love the fact that Toronto is multicultural. I love it. Like, people come from. I had a great conversation with an Uber driver yesterday who got here and immigrated from Iran. He'd been here a year. His English was quite good for a year.
Yeah. Second language taught there, I think.
It was, he didn't know anything until he came here, he said. So, and his wife's Indian.
Yeah.
And he said that if he went back to Iran, being mixed race would not be welcomed. The fact is, and also that he was Christian. So he had all sorts of things going on. That, you know, and you think how lucky we are that we don't have to deal with that. And, you know, when he goes back to Iran, how, you know, they basically feel his kid looking to see if there's any raping of the child of his own son. It's just terrible things that go on around the world, and the acceptance of what Canada is why I came back. I love it here. So,
On that note, you moved to England at a young age, and you, of course, you're a white guy. You probably didn't stand out apart from being 6 foot freaking six or whatever the hell you are. But you were a foreigner, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, with an accent, and you dealt with prejudice. In those early years.
I actually tried, and, you know, I was 16, so, you know, bang, I ended up in rural England to have maybe some different points of view and things that you would
see a little bit Brexit.
That you would see in, and that you would see in London. But there's large parts of me where never felt that I was really accepted. And I think of that as a white guy that speaks the same language. I tried to get an English accent so I'd fit in better. I worked on it.
Did you? Was it a good one?
Did you really?
Can you give us an example?
You can tell how it's gone.
Give me something.
Yeah, come on, give some English.
I got nothing.
Come on.
I got nothing. Just order some fish and fries.
Can I have some fish and fries, please, mate? Oh,
are you Oliver Twist? That's like Oliver Twist, for Christ's sakes. Please, sir, can I have some more?
Can I have some more?
Was that Oliver Twist?
Yeah, it was.
But my point being, I didn't really. It was hard enough being a white guy and spoke the same language as I can, you know. I saw how more difficult it was for the likes of Dalian Atkinson, who's been in the news recently over in England. He was killed by the police, and I see that this is going on another subject almost, but killed by the police in England by tasering, and he's been charged, apparently, the police officer, with murder. That was 3 years ago that happened to Dalian. So I going back to Dalian, as a youth player, I was in the youth team with him as 16-year-olds. I saw what it was like there for a black player at training and what they had to deal with. We had Trevor Sinclair on. He talked about it. Like it was very open. He said, and parts of Trevor Sinclair now are saying that it's actually almost like it's underground a little bit. It's sinister. Right? It was more in the open than it is openly racist.
Actually, that's a good point. What's better? And I don't know, because I had this discussion with one of my buddies who used to work at Sportsnet with us, Ian, and he goes, I like it when it's all out. Well, he's gay and black. So literally he said, I like when I know exactly that these people are this way. Right. And it's tough because then you can't even have that discussion with them because the lines are drawn. And, you know, when it's covered, at least you can go about it and I don't want to make people convert people to not being racist. That's not my point in life. Mm. But if you go out and you're a nice person, maybe there's some, you know, move forward in understanding.
Yeah,
and
didn't Nav, the super fan, I heard that there was some racist stuff about from in Milwaukee from somebody there, and he ended up going down there and taking him and his family out,
right?
Or at least him out, and then bought tickets to the game for his family.
Yeah,
and now they're
best
friends.
It's amazing. But then I read that, and as a white guy, I'm thinking, man, Nav, what are you doing? That scumbag. Why? But what right do I have to say? Nav knows a lot more about the issue than I do, and maybe by doing that, you're making a lot more progress than ignoring or just going nose to nose with some guy.
That's the problem with it, is that when it comes to rural anywhere, is that because you haven't come across people from different cultures, you're almost scared of them. Like there's a fear.
Yeah. Well, scientifically, it's proven that we want to line up with people who look like us. It's a scientifically proven fact.
Sure.
I like saying that. I don't know if it's true. But lots of mirrors, I know that's how people identify who's safe and who's not. It goes back to like full caveman days, right? Mm-hmm. That's how we're programmed. So the only way to break that programming is to have a conversation, to show that, you know, hey, you know, the whole shaking hands so you don't have a knife That's how it starts. And if you've already drawn the lines, and this was my argument.
Was that, Ian, how, is that shaking hand? Where did that come from?
That's supposedly where that comes from.
That's scientific as well, right?
No, you can check me at Scopes.
It's cool, man.
Scopes.com. You can check all my facts at Scopes.com.
You get a podcast called Dan's Facts.
Yeah, right. Dan's Facts.
I think they're all wrong. I'm the best looking man in Canada. but basically, it's if the lines are already drawn, how do you create a conversation then? Then it's just yelling. And this is where one of the things we're lucky with is, you know, our – I know it's getting into government, but, hey, we have three or four different parties. So you can actually – and if you vote for the one – now, I'm not talking about, hey, how we should go about voting or anything like that, but at least it allows to all the opinions get heard a little bit.
Sure.
Whereas instead of two polar like in the States where it's just – I mean, you have to take a side there. Because
yeah, there's one or the other.
And now you found, and this is now you found that both ends of those, there's people in who are center left and center right who probably have more in common with each other than people on the far left who are always thinking things need to be maximum volume to far right, where it's this is the way it was and this is the way. You can't create progress without going through some social bruising. With that social, you can't do it all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. It scares the crap out of people. And I wish we could.
Yeah.
I wish it could be a 180 tomorrow. But it's not. It's going to be 3 degrees. It's going to be 2 degrees. And you have to learn that that's how things move forward.
Yeah.
So.
And we've taken big steps in this country.
Oh, absolutely.
I remember going to, I can't remember the Jewish golf course in Toronto. And on the wall, they have a picture, no dogs or Jews allowed. And I asked the question, where was that? And that was at a previous golf course going back decades. But that was Toronto.
Right.
That
and they took down the sign and put it at their golf course?
No. They just took a picture of it and had it on the wall to remind people.
To remind people, right. Yeah.
And then here's the thing. There's Jewish golf courses?
Yeah, because they weren't allowed in anybody
else's. Yeah. Right. I didn't know that.
Yeah, people go, oh, well, why would they have a Jewish golf course? Because they weren't allowed to join anywhere else.
I didn't know that.
It was all Catholic, Christian,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. You don't go too far back to see this stuff, right? It's not that many years ago. My parents lived in Canada in the 60s, and my dad would say, you know, you go to the pub, the bar, be like the men's side,
so
the women's side.
Wait, you've been faking this accent this entire time?
They moved back. They moved back, and I think they regretted it straight away,
actually. You'd fit in much better if you sounded like
That's right. Put your poppy on.
I'll be doing hockey.
Put your poppy in your baseball hat
I'll be sitting beside
on.
Don Cherry. I'd call him out.
Yeah. Have an English accent doing hockey? I don't think so.
No, see that alone. See,
I have a hard enough job getting a job in Canada, and I play the freaking game.
No kidding.
The English accent would have helped me over there.
You know, I joke about this, right? Because I mean, I do love hockey, right? But I would never be considered for a hockey media job because of my accent.
Right.
I'm Canadian.
Yeah,
been here 30 years, but oh no, you don't sound Canadian enough.
Well, those cats,
I could probably make a big fuss of that, but I'm not that arrogant to do that because it's worked out pretty well for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you think about it, well, you're not Canadian enough. Well, I'm fucking Canadian. I've been here for 30 years.
Right.
I pay taxes. I vote.
The cats on – well, the cats on – okay, so CBC and TSN and CTV, they have English – are they all English, those guys? What is their background as far as
soccer broadcasters?
Yeah.
Well,
Christian Jack,
KJ, and Luke are English. Stevie Caldwell is Scottish, obviously. Yeah. They had Jason DeVos for a long time.
Very Canadian,
obviously. But they're all Canadian,
right?
Yeah,
right. KJ's been here since I think 2000. Luke came over in, I'm going to say 2008,
You could ask the question: would they have a job in soccer if they didn't have an accent?
That was my point. It's widely accepted that whoever is calling soccer, it's best if, and I fall into this trap too. If I go, remember the NBC was covering MLS or on Saturday, or sorry, EPL on Sunday mornings or Sunday afternoons. Sometimes they'd mix and match dudes. And I always liked the English guy because I was used to, you know, you're used to that voice.
It's comfortable,
that
right? Yeah.
Accent.
It is changing. I mean, one soccer have Canadian guys, Gareth Wheeler, for example, you know, calls the main games there. It is changing slowly, but I get it. Yeah, Andy, of course, you know, hosts. Yeah. Andy hosts everything. She could host.
She did some play-by-play, too.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So it is changing, but I get you're saying you're comfortable with the English accent calling football games, but there's no reason why a Canadian sounding guy cannot call a football game just as well.
That's right.
Or an English guy doing a hockey game.
Yeah, exactly. Let me expand my employment horizons. I am open for business. Yeah, I'm a free agent.
Yeah. Well, well, and hockey night in Punjabi, right?
Did you see that tweet, by the way? Their tweet on Saturday night?
No, tell me.
Late at night, they just sent out a tweet. All it was I think, five of them standing behind the desk wearing their poppies saying, another great night for Punjabi hockey night in Canada. Proud to be Canadian or something, and a Canadian, and that's all they said. That's all they had to say.
Yeah,
it was a very powerful tweet, I thought, and without throwing any colleague under the bus, so to speak, they threw their colleague under the bus, and it had to happen. I think it was well done.
And I'll go one more question, and we'll throw this out. One of our friends and buddies is Dave Amber.
Right.
Not going to speak for him. Love to know how he feels.
Mm-hmm.
Sits on, you know, he covers hockey every week for Hockey Night in Canada with Rogers, and it'd be interesting to see what he had to say, whether he could share that or not.
But no. Do you think these personalities are now going to feel compelled and pressured now to make a statement or make? It's a bit unfair.
Yeah, it may be.
They shouldn't have to just because it's happened.
They shouldn't have to, but it's also, like I said, easier not to say something. However, you know, Dave Amber's in a different position to at this present moment, and I don't blame him for not.
Well, I don't know. He might have, but it'd be interesting. Even just his take on, you know, the approach.
Wasn't his dad a CBC guy?
Yeah, his dad was CBC.
CBC guy,
a white Jewish CBC American. I think he's originally American, and his mom's Jamaican.
Yeah,
and but worked for with Mansbridge on the National, and then did the Canadian Media Guild.
That's
so
really
full on. You know, pictures on. I'm not talking too much about Dave and our friendship, but who is Arnold Amber and why is the Liberal government afraid of him? That was literally on either the Globe or, you know, the National Post or one of these things from the 80s.
Yeah. Really?
And I just kind of went, oh, that's like, if that's what you're doing politically and journalistically wise, you've got, you know, you're scaring the. You're holding people's feet to the fire, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he did that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so,
I mean, at his funeral, I mean, you know, rest his soul, I was amazed by, first, the attendance and the respect that man had. I never knew him, but I was like, wow, this is the best you could possibly ask for a guy who could live his life and have the respect of people everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. We'll get Dave on the show at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. He said I can come on to it if the lawyers let me.
Maybe now he can't, actually.
No, we're going to have to tweet him, and he's going to go, what the fuck were you talking about
sakes,
before?
David Amber podcast or what? Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's why I think Rogers need to nip this in the bud very quickly.
Yeah.
Deal with
what
because,
exactly is that?
Well, again, I don't want to have a Don Cherry bashing hour here, right? But sorry, he's not relevant anymore, and what he says is inappropriate and is against all Canadian values on so many occasions. Not once, this isn't a one-off.
Yeah.
It's a few times now, so it's to me it's pretty simple what the choice is, and they've got to make it. And the longer they wait,
maybe you would have
the longer
a little
harder.
Softer feeling if people if you came out and actually
apologize. Absolutely.
Care if they fire him. I don't care if he's on air tomorrow.
Yeah.
Admit maybe that you went too far and your point was jumbled. But if you don't, my father said, don't apologize if you don't feel like you should apologize.
Does he sound like they apologize in type to you?
No.
No.
God, no.
Right.
And why would he be?
Why would he want to be on TV at this point? He's 84, man. Just enjoy yourself.
Oh,
you know,
loves it.
The pension.
I don't think he's worrying about that so much.
He's one of the highest paid broadcasters in Canada.
Since you lost your job.
Right, you got a raise.
He was second highest to Craig Forrest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Our sucker types did very well, thank you very much. Yes.
It would be a good gig doing 3 minutes a night, though, week.
We didn't do much more than that.
Right.
Some
good
weeks.
Point.
Yeah, your schedule is,
one point.
Hey, when are you coming in? Oh, I think I have to wander in there Thursday from 3 until
Thursday,
5.
Friday.
Yeah.
But there was a time we were doing Champions League.
Yeah,
Tuesday.
We were. At one point working
on Europa. You got crazy. You guys had every broadcast.
And then I arrived, and they lost them all.
And we lost everything.
Yeah, it's my fault.
One by one, we just lost them.
But you guys were – what were you doing? And I always got confused with this because I never got the station. the Fox feed and the Fox play. Were you on it? Were you on it?
I was on Fox. Yeah, we had a show when I first came to Sportsnet. I came because of the Fox Soccer Report, which doubled as Soccer Central.
Right.
That's how I brought over when Sportsnet bought the Score.
Right.
And then that was cancelled. Another one I killed because Fox lost the rights to the Prem. Then I came over, and for a year or so, I kind of was Jerry's backup. I did Europa League games, hits, news stuff, but generally I was Jerry Dobson's backup goalkeeper. And then Jerry retired very thoughtfully in my case. Thanks,
good
pal.
Good timing, Jerry.
Yeah, great. Yeah,
well done, Jerry Dobson.
Exactly, great
timing. We all love you, buddy. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. Go to Florida. Well,
even when he retired, it was like Scott Moore in charge at the time. He was like, nobody retires. You eventually get fired.
Fired, right? Yeah, exactly.
He didn't even know it was in the box. There was a retirement box that apparently they had, and he wasn't sure what was in it.
Let's get Jerry on the show at some point. Jerry's got some good stories.
He got his choice, too, of, like, he did golf.
Yeah.
He did the skiing, right. I think, a little
bit.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Stemmel, Brian
Stemmel. Yeah, with Stems. And then he did footy and soccer.
Yeah.
Like, he had
a good host. He was a great host.
Yeah, pro broadcaster, right? Knew what to ask, you know, just... As a host, you're just directing traffic, essentially.
That's right.
And he was great at it.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from Jerry, actually. I mean, when I first got there, I was asking, so the prompter, teleprompter, like, where? He goes, Charms, don't use a prompter. You don't use it. You'll be a slave to it. And I did away with the prompter, and my God, it made my life so much easier.
Yeah.
Especially live TV and that kind of show. Yeah. A new show is a little bit different. You need a prompter because, well, as a producer, you know, you need to know what's being said. But,
if you're throwing to a feature or an item.
Jerry would just wing it. And he said, do if you become a slave to it. I never did, actually, because Jerry, I asked him once, do you write? He goes,
did you use one at the Score?
No. Again, thrown to pieces, I would occasionally, But generally speaking, the footy show was a very organic show as well. It wasn't structured. It's like, just let's have some fun. It's a bit like this, actually.
Right.
It's how TV should be done, in my opinion.
Right.
Then I went to Fox and Sportsnet, and that was a news show, like big time news show, and you had to use it because the producers need to know exact timing-wise what you're saying,
right,
where we're going, you know, and that was handy.
Yeah.
I can read a mean prompter, I have to say.
Yeah, I don't think I
But I'd rather not. I'd rather not. Well,
did you ever use a prompter?
Only when I was doing PSAs for SOS Children's Voices. And I was brutal at it.
It's not natural.
It's not easy.
No.
Because you can move your head back and forth. You're reading the lines or, it doesn't flow off. The tongue is nicely, and it takes a lot of skill. But I know some people, and there's people in the sports business, so they will have everything on teleprompter.
Right.
From "Hi, I am."
Right.
My name is.
But I think the other thing is, too, and this isn't to bash you or anything, but did you write your own intros and did you write your own stuff? Well, and that's the difference.
Well,
you did, right, Charms?
Like, nobody wrote it for me.
I hate people
writing
for me.
But someone wrote it.
No.
The prompter stuff, I mean.
Oh, yes.
So, for SOS, when you're doing that, SOS Villages, some marketing guy like me or producer like me is writing up something that he would say and hoping it matches your voice.
Yes.
Like, the way you deliver.
Yeah.
That never, like, I always, whenever I'm working with talent, it's like, look, I wrote this. Will you go through it if you have the time? Please have the time.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works.
Yeah, I can't spin
on it. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's why I think a lot of news shows, be it sports or otherwise, they all sound the same because you've got the producer writing it just kind of, this is getting the information across.
Yeah.
There isn't much of a spin on it. And I used to hate getting a producer's script, with all due respect. Never worked with you, fairness. But I hate it because often there wasn't time to write your own. But if I had time, I'd just completely rewrite it because I've got my certain niche way of doing things, right?
And having a good producer, having a good producer is really important. Like when you work with good ones, you really understand it. And we have some great ones.
We have great producers. Yeah. I mean, Dan Fernandez, superb. Aaron Lamb, Mike DeAngelis, occasionally. Yeah. You know, Michael Schwartz, Schwartzy.
Schwartzy. Yeah.
You know Schwartzy. He'd be good in the show actually.
Yeah,
if you get some TV.
He would be.
Yeah, great producers. Great. Very fortunate. Of course, if they were bad though, we wouldn't have stuck around with them. We would have made a point to say this guy isn't working.
Yeah, probably. Right? I mean, Dan Fernandez, his knowledge of the game was so great. So if you're in trouble or he would listen to what you're saying, and then if you needed some help and you needed another topic, he would...
Yeah, but he'd always find a way to get Benfica in there somehow.
Well, there's that. Or Ronaldo or Portugal. Ronaldo. Anything Portuguese, he would...
If you are,
well,
you
that's true.
With Dan Fernandez...
He was biased, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. You can name any player in the world and within six steps
exactly
can find
like
a Benfica
Don
connection.
He's exactly like Don Cherry. Dan Fernandez is.
When there's a Premier League game, he's watching Benfica.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. few times. Where's Dan?
Yeah, where's Dan? Oh, he's upstairs watching Benfica.
What?
Let's not throw Dan under the bus here. Jesus, no. Dan was the best. And now he's doing hockey, actually, I think, isn't he? He's doing hockey producing.
Unfortunately.
Well, isn't that all that's on Rogers?
Well, yeah, well.
Yeah, if you're lucky enough to do hockey, you're still at Rogers.
Yeah, in some cases.
Yeah.
All right, listen, we should probably move on to talk a little bit about football and soccer, I guess. But it's a great chat. Stick around, though, Dan. You should do this more often, man. You're pretty good. Who needs Dickio, man? Let's fire him.
Yeah.
But as I mentioned, Dickio right now is somewhere above us in the skies, flying back from Seattle in what is probably a really hungover plane.
Ears are popping. Oh.
Do you think you drink more having lost or drink more having won if you're in that family and friends plane? Are you drowning your sorrows? Is it an excuse?
You would have done that last night.
Yeah, last night. No, sure.
You're just hungover now.
No, but which is it? Do you party harder when you've lost? It's a great question.
When you won? Yeah, for sure.
See,
there's a reason why they got goggles on the dressing room after victory. Well, baseball after they win the division.
I find that really annoying, by the way, the goggles. Like, be a man, for Christ's sakes. Jesus Christ. I know it stinks, but come on. You don't need goggles.
No, it's like, yeah, exactly. I have more of a problem with them celebrating like they do after winning a
conference championship.
Conference or division. I know. Like, are you kidding me? You should do that when you won, maybe.
Right.
Or give them 20 minutes in the dressing room, and then you just party with your teammates, right?
Well, when you played though, Craig, yeah. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, league defeats are different to winning a cup final, but even cup defeats and cup wins, were your teams different? Was Ipswich different to West Ham, for example? Was it a bigger celebration at a certain club?
Well, never won a trophy with West Ham.
But you progressed, though.
We progressed, finishing fifth, top 10, but... it's different when you win a cup competition, a one-off, in a tournament.
Yeah, like that's Canada, I don't know. Is that like, I think Canadian like tournament for the national team would be different than like a cup for unless it's Champions League or something like
right.
that.
I mean, we did win the division, so at the end of that, but it's not a one-off. It's kind of it builds up during the season,
right.
And you're trying to get over the line to, you know, to win the league, and it sometimes can take weeks to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We had a chance to clinch the division in Bristol, failed to do that. So that
was that before the playoffs? Was it before the playoffs?
No, the playoffs were still
they were still there. Okay, I'm just trying to figure out.
We were going for first. We were going to finish first or second. We were going to get automatically promoted to the Premier League, but
that sucks, right? The playoffs, because you win that league, right? But you don't get that big day at Wembley.
That's a really good point. And that actually happened with Ipswich, where after we won the division, the old second division, which is now
the championship,
so you got Premier League championship. We won that. And yet a few years later, I was at West Ham at the time, Ipswich won the playoffs. They got a trophy.
Right.
I can't even remember who won that division that year. But they actually talk about that because it was actually a one-off game to get to the Premier League. Didn't win the league.
It's the richest game in the world, right?
Yeah, and it actually holds more weight, you feel, at Ipswich now than winning the title.
Yeah, you've accomplished something because you've got that moment. The world's eyes are watching you because that game is worth hundreds of millions of pounds, right? Because you guarantee yourself promotion.
Broadcast
and
rights.
If you get relegated, guarantee yourself
Whoever loses
payments.
Gets zero money.
Jeez.
And whoever wins gets a guaranteed, even if you got relegated the next year, of about £100 million.
Wow, that's a change in the economy, right? That's a change in business.
Your club is going to turn overnight. So that game is massive. So I get that, but it's a different thing when you won off tournaments.
So do you think the TFC, the team itself, obviously the room would have been very down. I mean, that was a game that they probably could have won. I thought they were the better team.
For most, certainly
the first half, pretty much, right? They're a better team, and then the goal on the counter just stung them.
Yeah,
they weren't the worst team. There was the better team, I think, throughout that game, and they must feel just gutted to have lost it.
They play some really nice football at times. Mm,
Now
you could say the Altidore situation with him not being fit would he have made a difference? Well, you could have said that. In Atlanta, you could have said that in New York. This team has managed to find ways. They'll be really disappointed for sure. It would be worse if they had been in the final three times in the last 4 years and lost all three.
Mm-hmm.
Then you become Buffalo.
What point do they become Buffalo? They never will because they have the championship.
They
right?
won, and now you look at they've been in the final three times. They've held themselves more than admirably. They could have won all three as easily.
Yeah.
You know, and one was a shootout.
Seattle won without getting a shot on goal, for Christ's sake.
That's right, in the penalty shootout. Right?
Yeah.
And really, I think the first shot on net wasn't the goal. That was going wide of the net. It was a deflection, and that took the wind out of their sails for sure. I felt bad for them because they played really well in front of 70,000. Before that, in Atlanta, they played really well in front of 73,000.
Amazing run. Yeah. It was an amazing run. They defied all the odds, right?
Yeah.
Neither team, by the form book or by the betting guide, should have been there.
Yeah. For the most part, I didn't think it was a great final. From a spectacle, I saw some much better
games.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Seattle were terrible for long stretches. Terrible.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, I think in the end, the lack of MLS world-class striker made the difference for TFC. They had chances.
It's hard to win game in, game out. You're talking about three massive away games in a row to do that without a recognized striker.
And Pozuelo was so deep, right, playing in that false nine. There was no reference up top. And then Jose came on, and he wasn't fit enough, but he scored the goal. And it did lift the team to a certain point. But you look at this offseason, what will they do? Michael Bradley, of course, is a big question mark. Will he return? But it won't be as a DP, which means the DP spot's available. Will MLSE invest in a top-class center forward again? I think they will. I think they have to because you can't rely on Josie because he's so injury prone.
Yeah. Well, there's that too. The clubs are not afraid of making some moves if they think it's in the best.
You think Seba could come back?
Ooh. Well, I would say this. I think he would love to come back. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you.
He's not happy in Saudi Arabia?
I don't think he's had a great time over there. No. I think his wife and kid has actually moved back.
Speaking of questionable politics.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, well, that's another thing. Pep Guardiola, he likes to speak out about the Basque separatists and, you know, Barcelona and all this and, you know, standing up for human rights, but he also doesn't look at his owners.
You're saying they've got questionable political views and history?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. And then we give all of our military, we biggest buyers and from Canada or Saudi Arabia.
Oh, they? So. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Hypocrisy.
Yeah. Oh, we love the hypocrisy. Yeah. All through sports.
My God, yeah.
But well done to Toronto FC. Honestly, that was a really good run, and they'll be disappointed because I thought they had it.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I really thought they were going to win it.
We, Craig and I, hosted an event yesterday at the Rec Room through Homestand Sports and Footy Talks, and it was jammed, about 1,000 people, and that's not including, obviously, the supporter clubs, you know, the Brazenhead and these other bars. I forget what they're called now, forgive me. Plus, I think the 2,000 or so that went to Seattle as well, you know,
that
legit traveling support.
Yeah.
It was great, great atmosphere, showing how the game, this is Canadian soccer, away from home, and you're just jam-packing bars watching this thing. And we both sat there and thought, man, this is pretty cool, man. We've come a long way.
Yeah, it really is. And you know what? The Toronto FC All for One slogan, too, that's really, really worked well. I mean, going back, I was in the advisory committee for MLSE when be going back before they actually even had a signing yet. But that was really what we were pushing for. We said that soccer in this country has been divided by ethnic division. And whether it's Croatian or Serbian or an English owner or Portuguese or Italian, nobody supported it. It was just supported by that group. We needed to make it all for one. And that's one thing we talk about, inclusivity. Like, this is what soccer and football is supposed to be all about. Certainly from a playing standpoint and being part of a club and being part of a community. And I think that's what Toronto FC are. There is a whole different mixture of cultural backgrounds. And that's really what they brought in. You see that at the basketball games too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like, the Raptors have done really well. So I mean, it is a multicultural. Hey, look around. It's incredible. Yeah. And not only that, Alex McKechnie made a good point. We had him on the show, too. Obviously, the Raptors.
Congratulations, Alex.
Yeah, he's got another year with the Raptors.
Yeah, that's right.
But
he's
said
a VP now.
He says, it's not that the fans and the black fans in the States don't want to come. They can't afford it. So he goes, it's not only inclusivity, it's economics.
Right.
You know, it's equal in economics to give the opportunity for everybody to be able to afford to go to a game. That's why you see that.
Well, you off air, Craig was talking, or at the event, you know, we talked about that big deal that Rogers hockey. I grew up playing hockey, skating at 6.
Yeah, me too.
You know, just charms who had to go see a game.
You don't want to see me on skates. So, it ain't pretty.
Became a rich guy sport.
Yeah,
it became the one thing about. So I played football and football at university. Equipment was all paid for some reason. They accepted that.
Right.
So didn't have to pay for equipment. Hockey, even if there was hockey in schools, I think only the goalies, they might have goalie equipment because it was so
expensive.
Yeah.
But we used to have swap meets. You know, we used to go, and that's where we got our equipment from, some kid down the street.
Yeah, outgrew it.
At the church and then at the community center. And you just go,
really?
Trade yours in and then go get the next pair, right?
Does that still happen? I mean, I have no clue about
it. Someone's making money off of it, like playing against sports or, you know, one of these things. But it has become cost prohibitive to be an effing hockey player.
Yeah. Like, what chance have you got you want to put your kid in it? If you're middle class in this country, you're going to struggle putting your kid into hockey.
Even if they're not great.
Yeah. What do they say? 1 in 3 Canadian families can't afford to put kids into sports.
I absolutely believe it. Absolutely.
Period. Yeah. Let alone hockey.
Yeah.
I believe that. I mean, just my kid's 9, and putting her in various sports, it ain't cheap.
No.
At that level, it's not cheap.
No.
And
no.
I understand why a lot of people can't afford that. And that's
so
sad.
And a lot of
the
hockey players, they're coming from backgrounds that aren't poor. They're above middle class. There's some billionaire background or hundreds of millions of background players in the NHL. Zach Hyman.
Yeah,
the biggest overdog story you could possibly imagine. Now,
overdog,
right? But he's done well. I'll give him that. He's worked incredibly hard, and I love that kid. And he's had to fight that battle too because of the background he comes from. Kerfoot, another guy,
right? Comrie, remember Comrie?
Mike Comrie,
owned the Brick or one of those guys.
So, if you're given the opportunity, every possible opportunity, you have a chance.
Alex Kerfoot is the Kerfoot family from out west, is he?
Yeah,
is he really
the owner of the Vancouver Whitecaps?
Yeah, yes, I didn't know that.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
That's his son.
Can we get him on the show? Must have some soccer background in him, surely.
Well, maybe. His dad's had a big input in soccer in the West Coast.
Absolutely massive, yeah.
Massive. Yeah. And he would put in more, too, if he thought that it would do some good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he would.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Man, this is this podcast is taking a real
everywhere.
Serious tone today.
Everywhere.
We're going everywhere, aren't we? It's good, though. It's interesting. But, I mean, you mentioned, though, the whole club community aspect, and TFC's done a great job. Seattle have done a fantastic job with that as well. From day one, their owner said, all right, the fans are going to be part of this club.
Yeah. You know what we were talking about yesterday watching the game? In North America, if you're, let's say, the Leafs end up in a playoff run and they end up going down to, or the Raptors, you're playing against Golden State. You go to buy a ticket. You're going to be mixed in with everybody else, and there's no supporter section.
Right, right.
But Toronto's got a couple. Seattle's set up that system, knowing it's important to have away supporters. Here's a section for
football
the away
does
supporters.
It, right? Why doesn't hockey do it? I mean, do you get the different traveling support?
Not a chance, because you got season tickets throughout the arena.
Right.
They're not going to.
Yeah, that section is reserved for.
And those people coming from the away ground, are they going to pay at a Leaf game? Are they going to pay $500 for?
At the same time, doesn't
ticket?
that just breed though contempt between fan bases too? And you got the group there, that mob mentality. If you spread them around like North American sports, it's a much nicer family feel to the experience, right? Whereas football, if you're in that section, there's a lot of going back and forth with the guys around you, right?
Yeah.
You know, so you have that tribal. I guess it's the tribalism in football you don't get in other sports.
Right.
Well, not in
not
in another arena or stadium.
Yeah.
Because
and I don't mind that as long as they just show respect for the people.
And I think there's more respect in MLS. The supporter section gets more respect than, for example, England or Italy when you are just hammered.
Yes, and you need a police escort.
What bus got attacked? There was a bus that got
happens
attacked
all time.
Last week.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, well, I remember I was at West Ham's last game at Upton Park, and Man United's bus got attacked.
Game was delayed.
Delayed like a long, like an hour.
Long time, yeah.
And the owner of West Ham, Sullivan, he says, they should have left earlier.
Yeah.
They left like an hour and a half to drive like 5 miles.
You got the players recording it.
Yeah, in the bus.
On their phones in the bus. And you should see this stuff, man.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, man, it was crazy. I want to get to quickly changing topic again, but TFC-oriented. We touched on it in the show yesterday at the Rec Room. And by the way, we got another live podcast coming up this Thursday. We'll get more details for you later in today's show. But, Craig, we mentioned how you actually had discussions with Toronto FC in the early days about making a magnificent comeback as a professional footballer.
Well, I don't know about magnificent.
It may have been. Back in those days, you would have faced a lot of shots.
Oh, yeah. But that was part of the reason why I didn't do it.
So they came to you.
It was hard enough broadcasting. We did like 5 wins in about 65 games or something like that. It was brutal, let alone being in goal.
But Mo Johnston approached you.
Yeah, he did, yeah, about coming down. And
how long was the conversation? How long did he think about this?
Oh, he talked to me a few times because I went down to train a couple of days.
I was there, one of them,
and
I interviewed you. Remember that?
It.
I was at the score and interviewed you and said, what the hell is happening here, Craig? I'm just having a bit of fun out there. Like, there's more to it than just that.
But that... that was basically it for me, having a bit of fun. I mean, in my late 30s, I mean,
you could have done it
playing
though.
Football at that stage, yeah. Dan. It's not the future for
dude,
me.
Dude, I remember.
it's just reality. It's just reality.
I do remember you coming to work one day. And so Craig, for the people out there, Craig and I were, we didn't know each other when we met. I knew very little. No, sorry. But I didn't know anything about him. So there was just some tall dude sitting in a cubicle beside me one day.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of fun back in the days at Sportsnet. And I said, I need a break. We started talking. Hey, we went out a couple times. And we ended up just, I have a week off. I yelled it out to one of my buddies. He goes, no, I got to work. Craig goes, I got a week off. We're dark in studio next week. And I'm like, yeah. Dude, do you want to, we had hung out.
Let's go to Mexico.
We ended up going to Mexico in 2003, the Iraq War.
That's right.
It was a different time.
And then romance was born.
So, yes, bromance, exactly. but I remember him coming back from that messing around with TFC. And I'm going, what's wrong with you? He goes, I was messing around with TFC. He could barely walk. He barely could effing walk.
Yeah, it'd been a number of years, right? What, 5 years since your last game at that point?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Must be 5 years.
Yeah, it was.
It was the first year of TFC, right? 07?
Yeah. That reminds me. We were down in Mexico. And Dan asked me to put some sunblock on him. We didn't know each other very well.
I can just picture. This is a very
comes out of the shower.
Image.
He did have a towel, I think.
Yeah, I had a towel. I did.
He goes, you don't mind putting a little sunblock on my back? So I do.
Is it hairy back?
Craig is thinking this is my first homosexual experience.
Yeah.
Other than Trevor Sinclair cupping his balls.
Yeah.
Right. But this is uncancer related.
So I'm very comfortable. Very comfortable with
There's
that.
There's no melanomas in your back.
No.
Oh, absolutely. But on mine. The point is, I did a thorough job. I was like,
rubbing
sure
it right
my buddy
in there?
Wasn't going to get any sunburn sitting in the sun for 8 hours. And so I said, well, while we're at it, you might as well do my back. Well, he didn't do such a great job.
Oh.
He literally just
handprints.
Put his hand on my back and rubbed them through. So I got so sunburned with Dan's hands, white hands, and everywhere around it, I was absolutely fried.
I just, look, I can't.
I went to the doctor the other day. So I had so many things on my back growing.
Barnacles of life.
Well, I just have to say, and people out there listening, he's very moly. And if you ever seen Austin Powers,
you went before that trip.
My front's perfect.
No, he's an amazing body.
Such a
wonderful body. You want to touch your hands?
He's a professional athlete.
Is that why you did such a poor job?
Very, very. That's exactly
distracted.
Why.
Well, I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah.
I don't think we could not have gone into more directions in this podcast. Jesus Christ, fellas! Man, I miss Dickio. At least we've got some stay on the rails there. Somewhat. We haven't even touched Man City. You know what? There's enough podcasts out there. We'll do a great job with Man City, Liverpool. Right?
Yeah.
A lot of great podcasts.
Right.
Give them a try.
Yeah. And they'll be telling you about all the handball.
Oh, the
vault. Right?
Conspiracies out there.
Not wrong, by the way.
Yeah,
not about conspiracies, but just that is driving me crazy.
8 points, though.
VAR.
Between City and Liverpool now. Eight between Leicester and Liverpool.
I have to. Dickio and Charms, so Danny and Charms have been bitching about VAR since it started. We knew it would come up a lot. Trevor Sinclair,
He went rogue on Twitter yesterday.
He ran nuts.
And he basically said, fuck off, which is
literally
appropriate. And every day, nice Craig approaching it. I still believe in it. I still believe in it. It's being, you just think it's being approached completely wrong. It's been application.
Yeah, an inconsistency.
Right.
Like, let's be fair. I mean, the ball didn't hit it. It was its arm? Liverpool arm? First
it was Alexander-Arnold.
Arnold, right?
Yeah.
So it hits his arm, and you can see it in the replay.
But I heard Mark Clattenburg talk about it, saying it initially hit the City player's arm and then ricocheted onto, so it shouldn't have been a penalty.
Well, this is the thing, is I understand that, and I always give the benefit of the doubt if there's any deflections in his hands, but they don't seem to have cared in the past. This is where it's so inconsistent. They're going to, let's clear this up.
To me, it was.
And the offsides when they're trying to be
goal.
It was a good goal.
Great goal.
It was a great goal.
Well, it's like people, TFC fans, whining about the foul in the build-up to Seattle's goal yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it could have been a foul, sure, maybe, but there's still 11 passes stringed together after that.
Yeah.
So they had to make the goal still.
Yeah.
So here we are again, and down that freaking wormhole.
It wasn't conclusive.
No, you're right. It wasn't clear and obvious, and that's the key. If it takes more than 15 seconds, clearly it's not clear and obvious.
Right.
Fucking VAR. God damn it. But anyway, Leicester's going to win the championship anyway, so it's all irrelevant, right?
Aren't they playing well?
Jesus.
Like, Brendan
Rodgers?
They
are the story. With them and Sheffield United are the story.
That's a massive opportunity. Like, Brendan Rodgers moving there, I mean, it'd be a lot easier him moving there if they hadn't won the title.
Yeah.
But they still got that in the back, but... They've all bought into what they're doing, and the club is loving what he's done and how they're playing. And
he's building something.
And he's building something.
I love how
Maguire
leaves for 80-odd million pounds.
Yeah.
Xianchu has been incredible this season beside an old stalwart in Johnny Evans who just sits back and does the dirty work. And you don't miss Harry Maguire. And they made 87 million now.
Incredible.
My Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I thought that would be a big loss too.
You know, I'll ask you this quickly. So Rodgers, we know he's a career-oriented coach. He's got a plan. He wants to coach at the biggest clubs. He had Liverpool for a few years. Did a pretty good job there, actually.
Yes.
You mentioned how everywhere he's gone, he's been successful. I look at Arsenal right now, right, who may or may not be firing Unai Emery today, tomorrow, next month. Do you think that's a huge club, right? Yeah. With respect to Leicester, it's bigger than Leicester. Do you think that, obviously, it'd be a good fit for Arsenal, but do you think Rodgers thinks, that might be my next step, an Arsenal? And if an Arsenal come calling now, would he consider it? Because long-term, you've got to think it's more feasible, more sustainable, given the stadium, the fact that it's the highest-priced ticket in the world, I believe, in football.
Tell you what, they've been hard on Emery, though, haven't they?
Yeah.
I mean, as much as they don't think he's more than having issues, if it's more than just him.
Yeah. For sure.
It's always more than just the manager.
Yeah.
Or when the managers do well. It's
right.
Not, they give them too much praise at the same time.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
the most part.
Yeah, it's a collective
fuck Nick
group.
Nurse. Did a horrible job.
Yeah. No, well. Just, yeah. Actually, there you go. Nick Nurse, what a fantastic. You know, he didn't have to get the credit he really deserved in so many ways, too. He's probably getting it more now, but he came from here. He was in England for many years,
right.
coaching over there.
Right.
So he sort of paid his dues, got his, you know, he knows what he's doing.
Did the UK, the Great Britain Olympic team, right? He was part of that.
Yeah, part of all that. So he's, you know, he's moved around. He's done really well. And I thought his biggest thing in that playoff series just changed the basketball.
Jesus Christ, can we go
how here? He dealt with the Greek freak.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
They sorted him out, and they closed that gap. They wouldn't let him through there.
Yep.
There's stories out there that they're going to just plan the whole cap situation and contract situation to go for him, the Greek freak, in a couple of years' time.
That's
some good stories.
Woo! Toronto is suddenly a lot more attractive to a lot of players, be it football or basketball. Man, again, we just hit the NBA,
boys. It's been a hard draw at times for Raptors.
We just hit the NBA.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, we'll do more NBA and more footy all the time. Just we'll keep hitting the two most popular sports on the planet.
Yep, exactly. That's By the way, you want to mention before we get to social quickly, this Thursday, our first ever live taping of Footy Prime. You can come and attend at the Rivoli in Toronto, courtesy of Homestand Sports, Footy Talks. Really exciting. Get some pints in. We'll have a good night.
Yep.
This Thursday, check our social feeds for more information. Speaking of social feeds, Dan, are we up now?
Oh, it's on the computer.
Ooh.
So it's up. It's in the feed.
It is?
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah,
we've got like technology and stuff happening now for us.
What's on the feed?
Look, little graphic.
Yeah,
so if you're watching on YouTube.
Oh,
if you look over here. All right. You see our graphic now.
Yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, and eventually we're rolling in highlights and
all
sorts of stuff,
all
right?
The great stuff.
Oh,
best
man.
Of. The best stuff.
We are going places with this podcast. Twitter, though, follow us on footy_prime. Instagram's Footy Prime, the podcast. Facebook, Footy Prime, the podcast. YouTube, as just mentioned, if you want to see Dan's gorgeous graphic, Footy Prime, the podcast. And if you want to drop us a line the old conventional way through the mail. No, not through the mail, through the email. footyprimepodcast@gmail.com. You can give us your opinions in our whole Don Cherry Coach's Corner 30 minutes. That's the beauty of this podcast. We got anywhere. We want to thank Eggplant, Picture and Sound once again for providing a gorgeous studio for us. Deitch, we miss you a little bit, but I thought Dan did a great job, eh, Craig?
I didn't miss
filled
him.
In. No.
Yeah. No,
he's
not Dan really.
Wong's
he's
better.
Swell.
Yeah, Danny, the two Dans.
Beach is back this Thursday, though. for the live recording. Yeah.
You don't want to
see
me. You want to see the bald-headed man.
You'll see Dan as well, though, I think. Yeah. You coming? You coming?
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope so.
Who's going to produce it?
Yeah, very points. All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that. Yeah, it's been Footy Prime. Cheers for listening.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show. Show.